Welcome to Royally Screwed. My name is Chris Shearer, and it's my honor to take you on a tour through some of history's greatest, worst, and bizarre rulers. In this episode, we're back in Japan to cover one of the most famous, or possibly infamous, figures in Japanese history, Oda Nobunaga. Listen, full disclosure, I'm a chronic anime watcher. Oda Nobunaga is just one of those names that is constantly thrown at you if you watch anything vaguely historical. And any character who is named Nobunaga is almost certainly named after him. So maybe, at least to me, he comes off as like the most important person in Japanese history. But maybe you've never heard of him before. Or maybe you play the mobile game Fate Grand Order and only know of him as a young woman with floating rifles as weapons. Yeah, it's weird. Anyways, this episode will tell the actual history of Oda Nobunaga, one of the great unifiers of Japan who was also known as the Demon King of the Sixth Heaven. In order to figure out why Nobunaga was so important, we'll obviously have to look into the history of Japan around the time he was born. Basically, Japan had been torn apart and was being ruled by local feudal lords called daimyos. If you watched the 2024 Shogun miniseries, it takes place very soon after Nobunaga's life. So while that government might have been pretty dysfunctional, it was much better than the system, or lack of system, that existed while Nobunaga was doing his thing. Oda Nobunaga was born into a Japan where there was technically a structure in place, but it was very much failing. So how did Japan become a land of constant war? Well, in order to get there, we're gonna have to learn about the Ashikaga Shogunate. So without further ado, let's begin the story. We're going back in time to Japan in the late 16th century in No Gods, No Kings, Nobunaga. So, as I mentioned before in the background history lesson, we're going to learn about the Ashikaga Shogunate, the military government that held control in Japan during Nobunaga's birth, and the system that would help see his rise to power. Well, before the Ashikaga Shogunate, there was the Kamakura Shogunate, named for its capital in the city of Kamakura, which is just south of Tokyo. The Kamakura Shogunate began in 1185 when Minamoto no Yoritomo received the title of Shogun from the Emperor, and established a military power that would actually see the Emperor supplanted as the head of Japan. The Kamakura Shogunate held power in the nation until 1333. It was at that point when Emperor Go Daigo decided to stage a coup against the Shogun. His revolution was successful, and the imperial seat once more became the de facto ruler of Japan. This revolution was mostly possible thanks in part to a man named Ashikaga Takauji. Notice the family name there. Wonder what might happen. Ashikaga was actually a member of the Shogun's army, and he was originally tasked with putting down the Emperor's coup. However, for reasons that aren't entirely known to us, Ashikaga decided to throw his lot behind the Emperor. In 1335, Ashikaga defeated the army in Kamakura and claimed the title of Shogun for himself. However, like I said, the defeat of the Kamakura Shogunate would see Go Daigo control the nation of Japan. Well, it turned out people didn't really want Emperor Go Daigo in power, especially the samurai. Go Daigo wanted sole control over his entire realm and excluded the warrior class from political power. Ashikaga, as shogun, and therefore in charge of the samurai, decided to throw his lot behind another candidate for emperor and enthroned him as Emperor Kamyo. This forced Go Daigo to flee from Kyoto further south to the city of Yoshino. So, Go Daigo ruled in the south and Kamyo ruled in the north, though under the control of Ashikaga as the new leader of a military government called the Ashikaga Shogunate. For 56 years, Japan was technically split in two until the southern imperial court in Yoshino was dissolved, bringing full power of the country into the hands of the shogun. Well, technically. So, there was only ever three shogunate governments in Japan: the Kamakura shogunate, the Ashikagas, and the Tokugawas. The Minamoto clan had massive sway in Japan before Shogun Yoritomo took control. Tokugawa Ieyasu was very high up in the government when he took control of Japan. Ashikaga Takauji was not as powerful and held nowhere near as much land before he was named shogun. So instead of a strong central power like that of the Kamakura shogunate, Ashikaga's government was split up under the rule of the local daimyos. Daimyos were local nobles who controlled huge swaths of land. In fact, daimyo literally translates to large private land. The shogun appointed the daimyos to rule over various provinces throughout the nation. After a certain point, the daimyos kinda stopped living in their own provinces, instead living in Kyoto while they appointed, essentially, vice daimyos to rule over a province in their stead. For a while, this system worked as the daimyo remained loyal to the shogun. Unfortunately, the Ashikaga shogunate began to weaken over the decades. A few succession crises had caused rifts to form among the daimyo. Obviously, if the guy you want to be shogun isn't chosen as the next ruler, it probably makes you less loyal to the guy who actually is put in charge. In 1467, another succession crisis over the rule of shogun, as well as succession crises for a couple daimyo clans, resulted in a large-scale 10-year conflict known as the Onin War. By the end of the war, the Ashikaga shogunate was in tatters. Shoguns were murdered and replaced with other members of the Ashikaga clan who would be the puppet of whichever daimyo put them in power. The dissolution of a strong central power resulted in the daimyo system falling apart as a semi-functioning feudal government, and the local lords turned on each other. From then on, Japan was said to enter the Sengoku period, also called the Warring States period. Though the seat of shogun within the Ashikaga dynasty existed, it had little more power than the emperor had when the shogunate had been at full strength. The Sengoku period would essentially last over the course of the next century as daimyos vied for full control of Japan. But it wouldn't be until the rise of Oda Nobunaga that Japan was finally able to enter a new age of its existence. At the time of Nobunaga's birth in 1534, the Oda clan, under his father Oda Nobuhide, was technically in the position as the vice daimyo of the province of Owari, a historical province that was in east-central Japan. They served the Shiba clan, though the Shibas had been losing power over the past few decades, allowing the Odas to amass further strength. So, the Sengoku period being what it was, Oda Nobuhide eventually took on the might of the Shiba clan, captured its stronghold of Nagoya Castle, and became the daimyo of Owari Province. Before the restructuring of the Japanese government in the late 1800s, Japanese men used to take on different names for a variety of reasons, with a common reason being a man reaching adulthood. So, at his birth, he was not known as Oda Nobunaga, but Oda Kiposhi. It's said that he had a very wild childhood. Now, Nobunaga was far from an only child, but seemingly gave off major only child vibes. He was never really disciplined and was more or less allowed to do whatever he wanted. So he dressed in very avant-garde styles of fashion and ignored general etiquette. This apparently garnered him the nickname Otsuke, meaning the Great Fool. Luckily, maybe, the Great Fool spent much of his free time studying military tactics and training with various weapons to be a hindrance to most people in society. In 1546, at that point being considered grown up, he took the name Oda Nobunaga. The next year, at just 13 years old, he was allowed to lead the Oda clan's military during one of its many military campaigns. In 1548, Nobunaga was betrothed to a woman named Nohime of the Saito clan, one of the clans who the Oda clan were warring against, who had actually just defeated the Odas in battle. This marriage was very much put together to create peace between the rival clans. According to traditional stories, Nobunaga was set to meet with his future father-in-law, Saito Dosan. Saito decided to spy on Nobunaga before their actual first meeting in order to figure out who his daughter would be marrying. As per usual, Nobunaga was wearing outlandish clothes, had two swords on his person, and looked all around like the type of guy you normally wouldn't want your daughter married to. So, Saito changed out of his formal attire to meet with Nobunaga, only to enter the room to see that Nobunaga actually had changed into much nicer clothes. Still, despite that, the marriage indeed came together. Unfortunately, we don't know how Nobunaga and Nohime got along, but they never had any children together, though Nobunaga would end up having several children with other women. Then, in 1551, Oda Nobuhide passed away. As the oldest legitimate heir to his father, Nobunaga was chosen as the new leader of the Nobunaga family. Initially, this caused strife within the Oda clan, but after assembling 1,000 of his soldiers in a display of force, his rival stepped down. And so, at 17 years old, the young and brash Great Fool of Owari became the newest daimyo to enter the Warring States period. Nobunaga's immediate worries continued to be from sources close to him, both in terms of relationships and geographical location. To the east of Owari province was the province of Mikawa, which was governed by the Imagawa clan. Since the Imagawas perceived Nobunaga as a young and inexperienced warlord, they attempted to capture his older brother, Oda Nobuhiro, who had been an illegitimate son of Oda Nobuhide. In order to save his brother's life, Nobunaga surrendered a hostage to the Imagawas, a 9-year-old boy named Matsudaira Takachiyo, who happened to be the head of the Matsudaira clan. He'll also be very important later, so remember that name. Matsudaira had been kidnapped by Nobunaga's father after he had been at war with the Matsudaira clan a few years back. Several months later, one of the Nobunaga's retainers defected to the Imagawa clan. In the ensuing fight against this act of treason, the Oda clan was defeated, and the lands in eastern Owari were taken by the Imagawas. The next year, in 1552, one of Nobunaga's uncles attempted to usurp control of the Oda clan via the help of Shiba Yoshimune. As a reminder, the Shiba clan had actually held control of Owari province from a government perspective, as the shogun had named Shiba Yoshimune as the true daimyo of Owari. Nobunaga managed to hold his uncle back and attacked Kiyosu Castle, where he was held up. From there, he was able to lay siege, forcing his uncle to remain within the castle's wall. While the siege was going strong, Nobunaga decided he also wanted to fight back against the Imagawas and reclaim his lost land. So, in 1553, he attacked the Imagawa stronghold of Muraki Castle. This time, he came out on top over the Imagawas, reclaiming eastern Owari. Perhaps impressed by the young daimyo's battle prowess, or perhaps for any other reason, in 1554, Shiba Yoshimune informed Nobunaga that his uncle was planning on assassinating him. The daimyo once more pressed against Kiyosu Castle. He forced his uncle to commit suicide, therefore securing his position as head of the Oda clan. Unfortunately, things were still not safe. This time, the trouble came from Nobunaga's in-laws, the Saito clan. 2 years after his victory over his uncle, Nobunaga's brother-in-law, Saito Yoshitatsu, rebelled against his father, Saito Dosan. In the ensuing battle, Dosan was killed and his son was made the new head of the clan. Yoshitatsu was not a fan of Nobunaga and broke off the alliance between the Saito and Oda clans. This severance once more caused schisms within the Oda clan. Nobunaga's younger half-brother, Oda Nobukatsu, decided to throw his hat into the ring for head of the clan, and several high-level retainers defected to Nobukatsu's side. Unfortunately, in the ensuing battle, in September of 1556, Nobunaga defeated his brother's forces. The only reason Nobunaga didn't kill his brother was due to Nobukatsu's mother's interference. However, Nobunaga sought for true control over his family, and Nobukatsu was not willing to stand down. In 1558, Nobunaga received word his brother was spreading the seeds of rebellion once more. He pretended to be sick and offered Nobukatsu the chance to speak with him. When Nobukatsu arrived at Nobunaga's home, assassins had him killed. Now, as the uncontested head of the Oda clan, Nobunaga was able to wage several more battles in order to truly solidify his claim to the Owari province. Alas, this was still the Sengoku period, and many more battles would come to pass. Now, you may still be wondering what happened between Nobunaga and the Saito clan. After all, that is what caused Nobukatsu to form his failed rebellion. Well, after a few battles, Saito Yoshitatsu succumbed to an illness and passed away in 1561. This left the clan under the control of his son, Saito Tatsuoki. Tatsuoki was only 13 at this time and very inexperienced. Nobunaga used this to his advantage. Over the following 6 years, the Oda clan and the Saitos clashed back and forth as the Odas convinced several key Saito retainers to defect to their side. The Saitos became increasingly weaker and demoralized until, in September of 1567, Nobunaga laid siege to their stronghold of Inabayama Castle. After about 2 weeks of siege, Inabayama fell into Oda hands, as well as the whole of Mino Province, the land of the Saitos. Under his control, Nobunaga renamed the castle from Inabayama to Gifu. Eventually, this castle would lend its name to the modern-day Gifu Prefecture of Japan, which contains the historical area of Mino Province within its borders. But let's now jump back in time a few years to the other conflicts Nobunaga faced. After all, his family's old rivals, the Imagawas, were still alive and kicking. In 1560, the Imagawa clan, along with the Matsudaira clan, began marching towards Kyoto, allegedly under the pretext of helping the shogun. It just so happened that this march would bring them along the borders of the Oda clan's territory. The Matsudaira were still led by Matsudaira Takachiyo, that young hostage Nobunaga had released earlier in his career, though now he was using the name Matsudaira Motoyasu, and he will also change his name once more before this episode is over. The Matsudaira army took control of one of Nobunaga's castles near the borders of Owari. While the advisors of the Oda clan warned Nobunaga to take refuge, he decided to stage a fight that would see the Odas come out on top of the Imagawas once and for all. On the 12th of June 1560, the Imagawas were camped outside of the town of Okehazama, which is not too far from Nagoya. The clan had about 25,000 soldiers under their command. Meanwhile, from Kyosu Castle, Nobunaga marched out with less than 3,000 men. Though he was vastly outnumbered, the Oda Daimyo was convinced he had a solid plan to take out Imagawa Yoshimoto, the head of the Imagawa clan. The traditional story about the ensuing attack is that the day had been very hot, so most of the Imagawa army wasn't wearing their armor. On top of that, a thunderstorm was brewing overhead. The Oda clan's army was very familiar with the territory and, using the thunderstorm to hide the sound of their approach, marched on the Imagawa camp, taking them by surprise. As the Imagawa soldiers were unprepared, they were slaughtered. Yoshimoto thought that the sounds outside were drunken revelry from earlier victories against the Oda clan and came out to tell them to shut up, only to find himself surrounded by Oda clan soldiers. Though he attempted to fight back, Yoshimoto was struck down, and the remainder of his army was forced to flee. The Battle of Okehazama is usually thought of as the beginning of Oda Nobunaga's rapid rise in fame and power. It marked his supremacy over the Imagawas, who were weakened by their defeat and eventually wiped out by other clans. The battle also marked the first time Nobunaga took an interest in one of his retainers named Kinoshita Tokichiro, who he would raise to the rank of general. After the siege of Inabayama Castle, Kinoshita would change his name to Hashiba Hideyoshi, and then later on would change it to Toyotomi Hideyoshi. Additionally, with the Imagawas wiped out, the Matsudaira were free from their control. Despite their previous animosity, in 1561, Nobunaga and Matsudaira Motoyasu formed an alliance that would last the rest of Nobunaga's life. In 1567, Matsudaira changed his name from Matsudaira Motoyasu to Tokugawa Ieyasu. Over the next few years, the Oda clan would engage in various campaigns against other clans and cement alliances with others. This continued success garnered him hatred by some, usually other daimyos, and admiration by others. And one such person in that latter group just so happened to be a member of the Ashikaga family. In 1568, Nobunaga was approached by a man named Ashikaga Yoshiaki. Yoshiaki had been the brother of Shogun Yoshiteru, the 13th shogun of the Ashikaga dynasty, who had been murdered 3 years previously. Yoshiteru had been under the thumb of the Hosokawa clan, but he was forced to commit suicide when the Miyoshi clan invaded Kyoto in 1565. Weirdly enough, there then just wasn't a true shogun for 3 years until the Miyoshis installed Yoshiteru's cousin, Ashikaga Yoshihide, as their puppet leader. Unfortunately, pretty soon after this proclamation, Yoshihide passed away from an illness. This brings us up to speed with Nobunaga and Yoshiaki. The latter was looking for revenge against the Miyoshi clan and was kinda hoping to become shogun in the process. He knew that Nobunaga would be a powerful ally, and a necessary one at that, in this endeavor. Luckily, the Oda daimyo agreed to see this plan through. Why he actually agreed has been debated back and forth, and I'll eventually get into that later because it's very important for how you can view Nobunaga's actions. So, the Oda clan's army began the march from Owari to Kyoto. Along the way, they subdued the Rokkaku clan of the Omi province, who were still willing to throw their lot behind Shogun Yoshihide, who was still barely alive at this point in time. In November, Nobunaga's army arrived in Kyoto and drove out the Miyoshi clan. Given his proven track record, Nobunaga quickly made work of his enemies and cleared the way for Yoshiaki to take the throne as the 15th shogun of the Ashikaga dynasty. In return for Nobunaga's aid, Yoshiaki offered him the role of Kanto Kanrei, which translates to Deputy in the East. This was a role created by the early Ashikaga shoguns as a sort of vice-shogun position. As a reminder, the Ashikagas had been lower standing than the Minamoto clan and needed to stretch out their power, so this role was usually a necessary one. The previous Kanto Kanrei had been a man named Hosokawa Ujitsuna, but he had died back in 1564. Well, Nobunaga refused to accept this role, which, unbeknownst to everyone in history, would make the previous Kanrei the last to ever hold the position. In 1570, Nobunaga ordered for all of the daimyo throughout Japan to come to Kyoto in recognition of the new shogun. The head of the Asakura clan refused to attend the meeting, which immediately earned him the ire of the Oda daimyo. The Oda army marched into Echizen province, the home of the Asakuras, and laid siege to Kanagasaki Castle. The actual attacking force was led by Toyotomi Hideyoshi, Nobunaga's former servant he elevated to general. The Tokugawa army was also there to provide aid. Unfortunately, the Asakuras had several alliances, and other clans who despised the Odas were also willing to join the battle on the side of the Asakuras. So, surrounded on all sides, Oda Nobunaga was forced to retreat to safety. The siege was the beginning of a shift in the power structure of Japan. The shogun was horrified by Nobunaga's actions, and he began to plot alongside the Asakuras and their allies on how to get the Oda clan out of the picture. He knew how the previous shoguns had been forced to bend the knee to the clans who had put them on the throne. Yoshiaki was not looking to become a pawn for a warmonger like Nobunaga. You know, despite the fact that he had approached Nobunaga with the original offer, and then the latter had refused any royal positions. And so, a new wave of battles and wars would begin anew as the Oda clan and its allies were forced to defend themselves from the power of the shogun. Okay, so there would be many battles, sieges, and wars that resulted from the rise of the anti-Oda squad, and it would take too much time out of the narrative to cover them all. So, needless to say, Nobunaga had a relatively rough time over the next few years. His main concern initially was the combined forces of the Asakura and Azai clans. Over the course of the next 3 years, from 1570 to 1573, the Oda clan and its allies fought back those clans and their allies, experiencing victories and defeats alike, until their might forced the heads of both clans to commit suicide, thus bringing an end to the Asakura and Azai families. However, the anti-Oda brigade also contained a sect of warrior Buddhist priests known as the Ikkō Ikki, who were opposed to the power of the samurai class and the daimyos. Nobunaga would wage several sieges against Buddhist temples in order to suppress the Ikkō Ikki, which would result in the deaths of many innocent people besides the priests. There was one siege against the Ishiyama Honganji Temple, now at the site of the city of Osaka, that lasted for a full decade. In July of 1573, Shogun Yoshiaki officially declared open rebellion against the Oda clan. He sought assistance from the Matsunaga clan, who were from Mikawa Province, the same as the Imagawa clan, and the Takeda clan of Kai Province. With this help, the shogun was able to barricade himself within his palace in Kyoto. Obviously, Nobunaga was not willing to stand for people wanting him dead, so he turned his army on Kyoto. Upon his arrival, he set fire to the city. This alone was enough to force Yoshiaki to retreat, where he attempted to find safety in the city of Sakai near Osaka. Knowing he had been defeated as shogun, Yoshiaki had two choices. 1. Kill himself, or 2. Become a Buddhist monk. He chose the latter. However, as a monk, Yoshiaki decided to join the Ikkō Ikki against Nobunaga's forces. And despite being a monk, he still refused to step down from his position as the shogun. Even after it was clear he had fully lost and Nobunaga more or less was in power, Yoshiaki attempted to form a new shogunate in exile in Fukuyama City out in western Japan. It would not actually be until several years after Nobunaga died that Yoshiaki officially declared that he was no longer the shogun of Japan. However, for all intents and purposes, Yoshiaki's departure from Kyoto in 1573 is considered to be the end of his tenure as shogun, and, therefore, the end of the Ashikaga shogunate. It was then a question as to who led Japan. Theoretically, no one was the shogun. Despite the fact that he clearly had the power to enthrone himself as the leader of a new shogunate, Nobunaga never used the title for himself. Without a shogun, it would have made sense that the power of the emperor would be revived. This was also something that was thought to be impossible due to the diminished power of the imperial throne under the shoguns. However, Nobunaga decided to strike an alliance with Emperor Ogimachi. The emperor was once again the head of the state, and the Oda clan's assistants would see a steady return to power. In response, Nobunaga was given various titles in the imperial court. Many of these titles were essentially just honorary positions with no real power, but it was very important historically because these positions were usually held by nobles. Now, despite being a daimyo, Nobunaga was not a noble. He was a samurai, which was a different level in the socio-political hierarchy. And so, as the most powerful samurai in Japan, Oda Nobunaga began working once more to ensure that Japan would become a place where the samurai could flourish. This was the beginning of the Azuchi Momoyama period. So before I move on to what I want to discuss in this section, what was the Azuchi Momoyama period? It was the period of time between the fall of the Ashikaga shogunate and the rise of the Tokugawa shogunate. It was named for Azuchi Castle and Momoyama Castle. The former was constructed under the orders of Oda Nobunaga to the east of Kyoto and was completed in 1579. It was designed to be a strategic point where he could protect the city quickly should any of his rivals come swinging in from the east. Momoyama Castle was built under the orders of Toyotomi Hideyoshi and was completed in 1594. It was located just to the south of Kyoto, but is now an area within modern Kyoto's borders. The Azuchi Momoyama period was one that was completely dominated by the ideals of Oda Nobunaga, from its form of government to its art. So, in order to figure out what exactly was going on in the Azuchi Momoyama period, we should probably learn more about Oda Nobunaga himself. We already covered Nobunaga as a boy, but what was he like as an adult? Well, in a lot of ways the same, but in other ways different. Let's start off with a fact about him that I think is always blown a bit out of proportion. Oda Nobunaga was most likely an atheist. At the very least, he was raised in a Buddhist household but did not believe in the various mysticisms and beliefs of that faith. That being said, he still told people that he was a member of the Nichiren sect of Buddhism. This is also where he earned the nickname Demon King of the Sixth Heaven. Nobunaga once received a letter from the head of the Takeda clan, which was signed with the title, The Head Priest of the Tendai Sect, Monk Shingen, despite the fact that Takeda Shingen was not a priest. In response to this wacky title, Nobunaga signed his letter, Dairokuten no Mao Nobunaga, Nobunaga, Demon King of the Sixth Heaven. He was also a strong supporter of the separation of church and state, as well as freedom of religion. However, most people tend to think of him as an atheist who despised religion, particularly Buddhism. People usually point to his brutal war against the Ikoiki for this. However, I think that has to do more with what I believe to be the main focus of Nobunaga's life. He was a samurai through and through. The samurai were a warrior caste within the Japanese social hierarchy, not nobles or peasants, but a class of people who lived off of war. Nobunaga was raised from a young age to be a warrior in the Sengoku period, an age all about war. On top of that, he was a member of a prominent samurai family who happened to be on the up and up. War was Nobunaga's entire existence, and he was a strong supporter of the samurai and their rights. So, a lot of things that Nobunaga did throughout his life was find ways to advance the technology of Japanese warfare and promote the well-being of his fellow samurai. This also meant that Nobunaga was against the usual system of titles and positions being inherited through nobility, so he did away with that by promoting people based on personal merit. This meant that even the lowest of peasants could be provided social mobility if they could prove themselves. He also completely revamped the way samurai lived. Usually, a samurai was actually a farmer for most of the year, because you never really wanted to spend your whole life in battle. However, Nobunaga wanted the samurai to truly be a warrior class, and therefore created a constant standing army composed of the samurai, meaning they were no longer farmers. Nobunaga was also one of the first men in Japan to really recognize the use of guns. Guns were brought to Japan from Portugal when the Portuguese first arrived in 1543, when Nobunaga was around 7 years old. Most daimyo and other military leaders thought of guns as inferior to bows due to the long reload times for matchlock rifles. However, while this may have been true on an individual level, Nobunaga was the first daimyo to realize that if you just lined up a bunch of guys all in a row with rifles and fired, it didn't matter if it took longer to reload, because you had an instant wall of bullets from that first line of shots alone. His love for firearms also played into Nobunaga's religious tolerance, due to the fact that the Portuguese owned the guns and the Portuguese were Catholic. So, while others were very wary of the new religion on Japan's shores, Nobunaga welcomed the Catholics in and let them preach their faith. You know, as long as they sold him guns. This relationship with Western nations would go on to kinda exemplify the rest of Nobunaga's life. He greatly appreciated Western art and allowed foreigners to freely live in his nation. If you watched Shogun, you'll know that this would not last for very long as Christianity and the Europeans quickly began butting up against Japanese traditions. Also due to the Portuguese coming in, Nobunaga was introduced to an African man who we only know as Yasuke, a name Nobunaga was said to have given him. Also, it should be noted that Yasuke was almost certainly a slave of the Portuguese missionaries who arrived on Japan's shores. Yasuke quickly became employed under the Oda clan and was made a samurai, where he served in the Oda clan army from 1581 to 1582. He is believed to be the first non-Japanese man to ever become a samurai. Unfortunately, that's kinda all we know about him, as his origins are unknown, though like I said he was probably a slave, and what happened to him after 1582 when he returned to no doubt be a slave again under the Portuguese Jesuits is unknown. The Azuchi Momoyama period was one of the samurai, where a warrior was able to live freely, and the Oda clan spent much of this period, up until 1582, consolidating their control over central Japan. By 1582, Oda Nobunaga had the emperor backing his strength and had control over 20 provinces of Japan. Unfortunately, say it with me, this was the Sengoku period, meaning peace was never an option. In 1582, the Oda clan was in the midst of fighting against the Mori clan, who were a powerhouse in the region west of Nobunaga's domain. However, we're not going to look at the Mori clan, as I have to introduce one last character to this narrative, Akechi Mitsuhide. Mitsuhide had once been a bodyguard for Ashikaga Yoshiaki. When the future shogun was looking for more protection with the aid of a major samurai family, it was Mitsuhide who suggested he ask Oda Nobunaga. From there, Mitsuhide fought alongside the Oda clan. Even when a rift developed between Yoshiaki and Nobunaga, he still stayed with the Odas. He had always seemed like just another loyal member of Oda Nobunaga's coalition. In June of 1582, Nobunaga had just put down the Takeda clan and ordered Toyotomi Hideyoshi to deal with the Mori clan. While Toyotomi was laying siege to the Mori clan's main stronghold, further reinforcements from the enemy started proving to be a problem. Nobunaga planned to join in, but he first wanted to take a moment for himself after his campaign against the Takedas. So, he ordered Mitsuhide to march west to act as a relieving army while Nobunaga visited Kyoto. Nobunaga's destination was the Hanoji Temple, a place he often visited after campaigns for prayer and reflection. Due to his me-time adventure, Nobunaga had very little in the way of personal protection. Meanwhile, Mitsuhide was marching his army of 13,000 soldiers westwards and would need to pass by Kyoto. Why he ended up choosing to betray Nobunaga is still a mystery to this day. There has been a number of theories thrown around about abuse suffered on his own part or on behalf of his family. Others suggest he had always been loyal to the Ashikagas, even after he chose to remain on Nobunaga's side during that split. We'll never know because, as far as we're aware, Mitsuhide did not leave anything behind explaining his thoughts. Nonetheless, on the 21st of June, Mitsuhide turned course and marched into Kyoto. It's believed that very few people in his group knew of the reasoning behind this change. Mitsuhide's army attacked the temple at 6 in the morning. Nobunaga apparently thought the sounds of combat were just people fighting on the street until he was told that it was, in fact, the Akechi army who had decided to come to kill him. Nobunaga fought back until he was injured and forced to retreat further into the temple. Honnoji was set on fire, and Nobunaga knew there was nowhere for him to escape to. After years of fighting against the many clans of central Japan, this would be his final stand, and it would end in his defeat. However, he was also unwilling to let his body fall into enemy hands. So, in the midst of Honnoji Temple collapsing from the fire, Oda Nobunaga committed seppuku. Mitsuhide called off the siege of Honnoji after 2 hours. However, in the aftermath, he was unable to find Nobunaga's body. It's believed that his corpse was burned so thoroughly from the surrounding flames that it became impossible to identify him. Around the same time, Nobunaga's son, Oda Nobutada, who was also in Kyoto at the time, attempted to lead an army to fight back, but was stopped. In the face of his defeat, Nobutada also killed himself. When word reached Toyotomi the following day, he quickly reached a peace deal with the Mori clan and marched back to Kyoto. On the 2nd of July, Toyotomi met the Akechi army in combat and defeated them, with Mitsuhide fleeing before being killed by rogue samurai hunters. Though Oda Nobunaga had been avenged, the new question on everyone's mind was, what's next? Who would succeed the Demon King of the Sixth Heaven as ruler of Japan? While initial calls were made for one of Nobunaga's sons to take the reign of Japan, control of the Oda clan army would eventually fall into the hands of Toyotomi Hideyoshi. He continued the goal of subduing the other daimyos until, in 1590, he had more or less unified the nation under his control. However, like Nobunaga, he never took on the title of shogun. Instead, he was called the Kanpaku. Normally, this title was reserved for a noble who acted as a chief advisor to the emperor or the regent ruling in the place of a child emperor. Not only was Toyotomi not a noble, but he was not acting in this position from any technical matter. In all but name, Toyotomi was the new shogun of Japan. In some ways, he continued the rules of Nobunaga, but in other ways, he might as well have been the opposite. He started the persecution of Christians and attempted to confiscate the weapons of samurai clans he viewed as potential enemies. In 1591, he retired as Kanpaku, taking on the title of Taiko, which is just the term for a retired Kanpaku, and transferred the title to his nephew, Hidetsuku. Unfortunately for Hidetsuku, Hideyoshi ended up having a son named Hideyori with the niece of Oda Nobunaga, meaning that Hidetsugu had to go. So the new Kanpaku was exiled and forced to kill himself. In 1598, in order to more centralize the power in Japan and protect the life of Hideyori, Toyotomi created the Council of Five Elders, which was composed of the heads of the five most powerful clans in Japan at the time. This council was composed of the heads of the Mori, the Maeda, the Ukita, the Uesugi, and the Tokugawa, still under the control of Tokugawa Ieyasu. In 1600, Ishida Mitsunari, a high-ranking official loyal to the Toyotomi clan, accused Ieyasu of conspiring against the control of the Toyotomis. This resulted in the council fracturing apart in an attempt to take down the Tokugawa clan. Unfortunately for the council, Tokugawa Ieyasu led his clan to victory and continued the goal of unifying Japan under one leader. 3 years after his victory over his rival council members, Emperor Go-Yosei conferred the title of shogun upon Tokugawa, thus ushering in the Edo period, the dynasty of the Tokugawas who would rule until the dissolution of the shogunate in the late 1800s. And before we close out this episode, I want to talk about the way I structured this story and why some people might think to do it otherwise. Historically, it was thought that it was Nobunaga who rebelled against Shogun Yoshiaki due to some sort of lust for power. They would say that Nobunaga wanted the shogunate for himself. However, I fully believe that it was Yoshiaki who turned against the Oda clan. Like, yeah, he didn't want to be under the thumb of a daimyo, But it doesn't really seem as if our boy Nobu actually wanted to be shogun at the end of the day. I believe there's a reason he never took on the title of shogun for himself. I think he just viewed himself as a samurai. A very good samurai, but not one who needed flashy titles. He would even get rid of the titles the emperor bestowed upon him only after just a year of having them. He was not looking to be a god or a king. He was just Nobunaga, the daimyo of the Oda clan. But for now, that's it for this week's episode of Royally Screwed. I hope you enjoyed the journey. Be sure to subscribe to the show and tell a friend all about it. Next time, we're in ancient Greece for a story of the ages. Greece versus Persia. However, there's one story in the Greco-Persian Wars that stands above the rest. The stand of the Spartans under King Leonidas at the Battle of Thermopylae. But who was Leonidas really? And who was Xerxes, the emperor of the Persians who led the invasion? Well, that's what we're going to find out. I hope you'll join me then for another topsy-turvy look into history's most interesting rulers.